Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about the government setting to announce the first changes to the health system next month and his comments around not going further into the Pike River mine. Here's the minister. I can't want to start this week by talking about the health system reform.
Sure.
You said in a speech yesterday there are going to be five key shifts in reforming the system. So what are these shifts?
There's a number of them, obviously. One is greater equity. Another is making sure that equity in the sense of not just access for communities that are underserved by the system, Māori, Pacifica, disabled, but actually across the country, knowing that your access to healthcare is not going to be dependent on, you know, where you live, that we get a consistency of treatment across the country. Another is compliance with the Treaty of Waitangi. Another is better use of data and digital technology. With COVID, a lot more people, when they were consulting their doctor or even other health professionals, they could do a lot more through telehealth and through just conveying, you know, their relevant data through other means. So there's a lot more of that. Those are principal ones, but the idea is that there's means and technology available now that means we can do health differently. We're behind many other countries, and we're determined to make up that gap.
You described this announcement next week as a, quote, blueprint for how the system will work in the future. What do you mean by this? Is it a change on the organisation or down to a little bit of finer detail on how services are provided?
Yeah, we're due to make the announcement next month. It'll be April before we announce the detail. But yeah, this is really looking at the structure of the system to make sure that we're getting the coherence and consistency. We've got looked at a lot of DHBs, increasing the DHBs are working together, across their own sort of boundaries, because they realise that, you know, patients in one region, if they can't get their treatment in one hospital, they've got to be able to go to another. But I think the other is recognising that we do have a big gap when it comes to primary and community care, which is actually where most people get their health care, and we've got to do more to support that. So it's about making sure that we've got the architecture of the system right. That means we can see the improvements in consistency, see the improvements in health delivery at that front line.
I know Cabinet will be talking about these for the next couple of weeks, but are they going? Is DHB restructuring or set up Health New Zealand, the overarching health agency, be on the table as well?
Well, we've indicated that coming out of the Health and Disability System Review report last year, and its recommendation for Health NZ, an overarching body, we've accepted in principle that recommendation. That report also recommended reducing the number of DHBs. That's something obviously that we are looking at, but we like the idea of an overarching body to really help drive the performance of the system. The other is the Māori Health Authority. We've committed to having a Māori Health Authority. The issue there is the extent of its powers and reach and you know, how it functions within the system to deliver that equity requirement that we really have.
Well, will next month's announcements include infrastructure as well? Well, considering recently Dunedin Hospital have said they reached full capacity.
Yeah, well, there's already work underway. I mean, we've got a $1.4 billion build project for Dunedin already approved and about to get underway. And there's a number of projects throughout the hospital network across New Zealand of new buildings going up. I mean, we put this government in the 3.5 years we've been in office has put literally billions of new dollars into upgrading and building new hospital infrastructure. It takes a while for that, A, to get built and B, to come on stream, but we're doing that. In fact, I'm on the North Shore today to commence the construction of a $267 million building for North Shore Hospital. So we put a lot more into that. But it's going to be, you know, 4 or 5 years before a lot of the construction projects that we've approved actually, you know, have an impact on the system.
Right. And once you announce and Cabinet approve these changes, what's next?
Well, then there's a very intense level of engagement with the sector, with there's many stakeholders we have to engage with on kind of making the system work. I've been doing meeting a large number of groups and organisations within the health sector over the last few weeks, talking about this. I mean, everybody is saying, look, they know there needs to be change. They welcome the opportunity for change. They are good about saying, look, you work out what the structure is, how the funding flows, and then we'll kind of all work together to pull the moving parts together, if you like, and to make it work. So that'll be what will happen throughout the rest of this year. We'll probably get legislation in the House by the end of the year, and I imagine we'll have the structures sort of up and running partway through next year.
What about changes on specific areas like mental health or cancer that we touched a lot on recent weeks? When can we see announcements around these areas?
Well, on mental health, we have we're rolling out the reform program for that. We committed $1.9 billion to that in 2019. We were due to have spent about $350 million by June this year. We've probably spent about $280 million. That the spend on that gets more rapid over the next sort of couple of 3 years. So the mental health and addiction reform process is underway. On cancer, we have the Cancer Control Agency. It's been in place since July last year. It's doing some great work. It's commissioned some great projects on just evaluating where the gaps are in our cancer management regimes, what we need to be doing differently and better. So it'll continue to make do its work and make its recommendations. But I think having a body like Health NZ that has an overarching responsibility for the health system will make it easier to follow through on the sorts of things that I'm expecting to come out of the Cancer Control Agency.
Right. Okay. Moving on to another topic on Pike River, on the Pike River mine. Some families are calling for the Pike River Agency to go further into the mine, but you said on News Up Nation and to Stuff over the past week that's infeasible. Why is that?
Yeah, look, I know that there are some families. It's a small number of families. The vast majority of families have worked together on with the government on this project and with the Pike River Recovery Agency. Just to go back a bit, I mean, I worked very closely with the families very early on in 2018. We took pretty much the whole of 2018, our various experts, including international experts, mapping out this project, seeing what was achievable, what was feasible. The families had their representatives who were involved in pretty much every meeting, got to sit with the experts and the technical experts and the engineers and the coal miners and stuff. And we agreed on what we would do, which was to recover the drift, because we thought that the roof wall, which is 2.3 kilometres into the drift tunnel, that was going to be too technically challenging, both to get through the roof wall and to manage the mine atmosphere, which has been one of the challenges we've had throughout the whole project. I've had to get additional funding to see through this project. We made the commitment to recover the drift. There's a part of the work has been doing the forensic work in conjunction with the police to make sure we're recovering evidence and examining exactly what we're doing. The idea of getting through the roof wall and managing the mine atmosphere and the mine workings adds considerable extra expense. It is way more hazardous than what we've been doing to date. And look, we've had no serious injury in the project to date, and that was one of the critical criteria that the families put on this whole project. And so we've said, look, we've fulfilled our commitment. That was what we agreed with the families. I can't in good conscience go and spend what would be millions and millions of dollars more to do something that it's not clear it's going to add a lot of extra value. The stuff that the police are doing beyond what they originally intended to do, so they can do their work of putting together the evidence to see if they've got a chance of getting a prosecution. That's what we wanted out of this, and we're getting there, and I can't justify doing anything further.
But surely the government wants to know what caused the explosion, and considering some experts, like Tony Foster, New Zealand's former chief miner, said the reason could lie just Tim 12, 15 metres away. Surely the government wants to know what happened.
Tony Forrest is not being accurate when he says that. It's not just 10 or 15 metres away. The roof wall is anywhere from 15 to 50 metres long. And we don't know. He says it's just made up of coal. We just don't know that. He doesn't know that. He actually doesn't know what he doesn't know is his problem. He might have been a former mines inspector. He hasn't had anything to do with Pike for some years, and he has very limited information that it goes on. What I really worry about is there are some people who say stuff and say it publicly, and they are aware that there are families who are really still struggling to come to terms with their grief on this, and I just think it's an unfortunate thing that some people think it's okay to do. I don't. We've been very open and very clear with the families. They've got every bit of information that the agency has got, and we've made our judgment accordingly. It is simply not correct to say that the best evidence is 15 to 20 metres away. Actually, there's a lot of evidence. The most important area that we had to get to was this area called Pit Bottom and Stone. The forensic examination of that area is happening now. There's a whole lot of plant and equipment in Pit Bottom and Stone that we're in the process of extracting now. The police are going through that with a fine-tooth comb. The extra work the police are doing is to arrange for extra boreholes to be drilled. That's a big task, so they can put cameras down into the areas that we can't get into to examine some of the very areas that Tony Forster says needs to be looked at. So with all due respect to Tony, he actually just doesn't know what he's talking about.
Okay, I'm glad we touched on Pit Bottom and Stone, because that's my final question. So you said the police are now drilling boreholes into Pit Bottom and Stone.
No, sorry. That's not the area. The area that where they're drilling boreholes into is the area further in to the area that goes beyond the roof wall. So it's the area that we can't get to.
Okay, so... what's next once this is complete? Is it all finished?
Yeah, well, we've still got weeks to go to clear the Pit Bottom and Stone area. As I say, that's being forensically examined. The plant and equipment that's there is being pulled out. That'll have to be examined. Once we've done that, and once the police have finished their part of the process, then the project comes to an end. And we start then the process of handing it back to the Department of Conservation.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.